mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 3, The Mercy to the Worlds, where we're on a beautiful journey through the life of the best of creation, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came as a mercy to the worlds, and alhamdulillah, spread that mercy at that time, and that mercy continues and continually increases for the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and will continue to do so until the day of judgment and beyond. Because on the plains of resurrection, it is the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in Jannah, well, Jannah is another glimpse of the beautiful mercy that Allah azza wa jal has for us. And the best pleasure in Jannah is neighborhood of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Alhamdulillah, on this magnificent journey, we have covered quite a proportion of the life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you remember last week that we went to the Battle of Tabuk and how that ended. Now, inshallah, we're going to continue from there. So, Allah Hazrat very beautifully writes, Sabse ola ho ala hamara nabi. Sabse bala ho wala hamara nabi. This is the beauty of, you know, Allah Hazrat's kalam, that with short words, Allah Hazrat really gets to the nub of the question and really gets to the nub of the point that he's trying to make. Here, he's saying, when you look at everything, you have to conclude that beyond everybody else, in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, the one light that shines forth beautifully is that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to any beautiful quality that the creation possesses, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is not only at the pinnacle of that quality, but is the one who distributes that to the creation of Allah azza wa jal, with the izn of Allah azza wa jal, with the power and the permission of Allah azza wa jal to the creation. So whatever good qualities we have, they come from our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to go to our question of today. So our question of today is this. Let me read it to you. Who was with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the migration from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwarah? Wow, what a beautiful question that is. For those of you who've been following our silsila, you will remember that alhamdulillah, we covered that in great depth. And that person, that personality was so blessed, alhamdulillah, to accompany Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that great journey. Alhamdulillah, we've got a beautiful kalam. We're going to take that a little later on. And now we're going to move in to our main silsila, inshaAllah, azza wa jal.
The mercy to the worlds.
So, alhamdulillah, what we covered is the Battle of Tabuk. And we talked about how the Muslims, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rallied the armies and 30,000 marched to Tabuk, and how these people then waited there for the kuffar. But the kuffar, Allah azza wa jal, placed fear in their hearts, and they could not bring themselves to fight the Muslims. And eventually, without a fight, these people came back. And there was only one martyr from the Battle of Tabuk. And that was none other than her great companion, who had left everything to come to Madinatul Munawwarah. And he had a desire to be martyred. And Aka Kareem, so he became ill on the journey and he passed away. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he had the status of a martyr. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back from the Battle of Tabuk, And we dealt with the Munafiqeen last time, that how they'd made excuses and how they came to the court of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acquiesced on this, and how Allah revealed ayats of the Quran. Now, a new fitna. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was working in Madinatul Munawwara, you still had the Munafiqun, who every day concocted new plans to sow sedition and discord amongst the Muslims. The Munafiqun decided to build a mosque. In reality, it was a place for where the Munafiqun could plot against Islam. They could make plots, they could sow seeds of discord amongst the Muslims, and they could devise their defense, their strategies, you know, their deceiving strategies against Islam. Abu Amir Rahib, an individual from Ansar who had become a Christian, Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named him Al-Fasiq. He was behind this, and he said to the Munafiqun, you need to plan secretly to attack and make this masjid and use this as your planning platform. I will go to Caesar and I will go to Rome and the Byzantine Empire, and I will convince him to grant me troops to come and attack Medina. And this is after the conquest of Mecca. Look at how deceitful these people were. They're living in Medina, and the Munafiqun, they're pretending to be Muslims, and yet at the same time, they're fighting Islam. Now, the Munafiqun convened a meeting in this so-called mosque, and they plotted to destroy Islam. And not only that, they were plotting to assassinate Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to leave for Tabuk, these people came and they said, why don't you come and pray in our mosque? It's a mosque we've built, and you come and pray, and you can do the opening, etc. Aka Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused. Aka Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we're about to leave for jihad, so I do not have time to do so. They persisted in their request. However, Aka Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam never agreed to set foot in this mosque. Upon return from Tabuk, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed verses of the Quran in which the deception of the hypocrites was opened up. The Munafiqun were opened up, and their hatred towards Islam and the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal was unmasked. These verses expose the true nature of what this building was. It wasn't a mosque. And listen to what the glorious Quran says. Surah Tawbah, verse 107 and 108. And there are those hypocrites who took for themselves a mosque for causing harm and disbelief and division among the believers, and as a station for whomsoever had warred against Allah and His Messenger. Whoever had warred against Allah and His Messenger before, and they will surely swear, indeed we intend only the best, and Allah testifies that indeed they are liars. Do not stand for prayer within it, ever. A mosque founded on righteousness from the first day is more worthy for you to stand therein. Within it are men who love to purify themselves, and Allah loves those who purify themselves. The ayat of the Quran came, and Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was told that this masjid, and the Muslims were told, this isn't a masjid. This is a station for the Munafiqun to plot against Islam. Do not go anywhere near it. Following this revelation, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Sayyidina Malik and Sayyidina Man ibn Adi to demolish this and set alight this mosque. Then Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is appointed the Amir of Hajj. So after the Battle of Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk, 9th Hijri, Aka Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends 300 Muslims from Madinatul Munawwara to perform Hajj. Now this is after Mecca has been conquered, Islam has been established there, and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, peace has been brought. Now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Amir Hajj, the leader of the pilgrimage, together with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the chief of Islam, the naib of Islam, and Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, these were the great, great stars of Islam who were now guiding this kafla of Hajj. And now they were going to Makkatul Makarma, where the Muslims there were ready and waiting to welcome them with open arms. Aka Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent 20 camels for sacrifice, And Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrives in Masjid al-Haram. Now it's a totally different atmosphere. Now it's a totally different scene. Alhamdulillah, Islam is spreading. There are some non-believers there, but it's mainly now Muslims, and Muslims have free reign in the Haram al-Kaaba. They can pray, they can do whatever they want. Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala delivered sermons in Masjid al-Haram, Arafat and Mina. After which Sayyidina Ali stood up and recited 40 verses and then announced, "From this year onwards, no mushrik shall be permitted to enter the sacred precincts of Haram, nor shall anyone be permitted to circumambulate the Kaaba naked, and amnesty for the kuffar and mushrikeen in this land will cease after 4 months." Because there were still people there, non-Muslims and idols. Idol worshippers. So, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and some of the companions repeated these proclamations time and time again. So the whole of Makkah knew what was happening. They repeated it so much, the scholars write, that they lost their voices. And once they started to do this, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, one saw the beauty of Islam and the power of Allah Azza wa Jal and the love of His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People started to enter Islam in large droves. Groups and groups started to enter Islam. Other events, this is the 9th year after Hijri. So you've got the Battle of Tabuk, you've got this. Now, peace and security, Alhamdulillah, now after the conquest of Makkah, had spread all amongst the Arabian Peninsula. The Battle of Tabuk had meant that the Byzantines had backed off, the Ghassanids had backed off, and Alhamdulillah, people were at peace. They were now in safety of Islam. Verses outlining the obligation of zakah were revealed in this very year, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed collectors for zakat. The order of jizya from non-Muslims that to be paid living under the protection of Islam was revealed in this year as well. Then the verse concerning this was, until they pay the required tax with their own hands, with humiliation, so they were allowed to remain, and the Muslims gave them protection. Islam was so beautiful that Islam gave everybody rights. But then as well as that, Islam invited them towards this beautiful deen and had zakat and taxes that they must pay for the welfare state and for the state to help the poor and to help the running of the state. It was also in this year that the prohibition on interest, usury, was made. Now I'm going to stop there and we're going to go to our beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمامي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي جمعا طالبنا منك مغفرة يا ربي جمعا طالبنا منك مغفرة وحسن خاتمة يا مبدئ النعم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها. سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I hope you enjoyed the beautiful Kalam, the Qasida Burda Sharif. So, we were talking about the ninth year of Hijri and other events that happened. And interest was prohibited in this year. Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave very clear indications of that. Then the king of Abyssinia, Al-Habsha, This was the king who, you'll remember in the early days when we were discussing the migration of the Muslims from Makkah al-Mukarramah, where they were being persecuted, and they took refuge in the lands of the Ethiopian king. And despite the kuffar of Makkah chasing them, he protected them as well. Now, in the ninth year of Hijrah, he passes away. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something very unique. You know, this was a king at the time that the Muslims needed. He not only gave the Muslims safety and sanctity and security in his lands, but he also reverted to Islam and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen became an ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so pleased for him that the Messenger of Allah azawajal performed his funeral prayer in absentia in Madinatul Munawwara, and also supplicated for his forgiveness. So this isn't normal. Somebody dies wherever they are, they have their funeral prayers there, and then they're buried. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only obviously appreciated what this king had done, but also the fact that he had so much love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much love for him, the mercy to the world, showed their mercy by lining up the companions and praying his janaza in absentia. He was there in those distant lands, but his namaz-e janaza was being prayed in Madinatul Munawwara. How fortunate was that individual, subhanallah. Then the chief of the Munafiqun, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he passes away in this year as well. But Zahir, obviously, he was claiming to be a Muslim, but he was with the Munafiqun. At the request of his son, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, who was a beautiful companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for consolation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him the blessed cloak Mubarak to shroud his father. Sayyidina Umar repeatedly requested the Messenger of Allah azza wa jal not to lead his funeral salah, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to do it. It was only after Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done it that Allah azza wa jal revealed the ayat 84 of Surah Tawbah and said, from here and on, never pray over any of their dead, nor stand by their grave. No doubt, they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger and died while they were disobedient. After this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't go to any of the janazas of the Munafiqun. And this was what the end of the Munafiqun was, very bad. They died a despicable death. Now, alhamdulillah, now peace is going throughout the Arabian Peninsula. And especially with the announcement in Makkah, you've got different tribes coming into Islam. Then what you had is also this, that before, the kuffar of Makkah, the Quraysh of Makkah were opposing Islam. So a lot of tribes, they wanted to accept Islam, but they were scared of the kuffar of Makkah. Now that there was peace, lots of tribes, alhamdulillah, people went to them. The companions went to get zakat for jizya. They went to teach and propagate Islam. They went for other expeditions, and they invited them to the beauty of Islam. And when these people saw it, groups and villages and towns started to come into the fold of Islam. There were many delegations. In fact, this year, 9th of Hijrah, it became known as the year of delegations, because delegations from all over Arab, either the companions went to them and they accepted Islam, but some of them, they said, no, we want to go to Madinatul Munawwara and we want to accept Islam at the hands of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful thing that would have been. Can you imagine that you've decided to come into the fold of Islam, but you want to go and behold the beauty of the beloved and then come into the fold of Islam? Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. So preachers and propagators were everywhere, but these tribes came to Madinatul Munawwara. They directly accepted Islam at the hands of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then these people would go back to their tribes and they would preach and propagate Islam. And in this way, alhamdulillah, the whole Arabian Peninsula became Nurun ala Nur. It lit up amazingly. Now, when delegations arrived, alhamdulillah, they were welcomed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam put on beautiful clothes, the companions were dressed very well, and they welcomed these delegations. They gave them food, they gave them good hospitality, they gave them gifts. And these people who had come to accept Islam were even more mesmerized by the beauty of Islam. They were taken aback. They came maybe with a fear of what they were to expect. But when they saw this loving and caring environment and this amazingly affectionate and merciful person, their hearts came out of their chest. They could not believe that, alhamdulillah, they had found the beauty of Islam. And they came into Islam, and from there in on, they And their generations to this day have stuck by what was given to them at the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the true message of Islam was being spread. Now the true beauty of Islam was going out. There were no restrictions. Now people were teaching the Quran. Now you had the pure Ashikana Rasul, the devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were free to travel the lands and show people what Islam was. There was no fear, and the safety and sanctity and the refuge of Islam was now open to all. The results were amazing. You had delegation after delegation after delegation coming to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Following the Battle of Hunain, Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Al-Taif, after which he performed Umrah Mubarak. And then after performing Umrah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a return journey to Madinah al-Munawwarah. On the way, Urwa bin Masud Thaqfi, one of the leaders of the Banu Thaqif, presented himself and accepted Islam. He was a very honorable individual and a great man of great dignity. And he was the one, you might remember, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he played a role as well. After embracing Islam, Hazrat Urwa bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes back to his tribe. He asked for permission, goes back to his tribe. And he was so excited and overcome by the fact that he had found the truth and he had become a companion of the mercy to the world, that he climbed upon his roof and he started to invite his villagers to Islam. He said, "We found an amazing religion. We found a beautiful prophet." He invited them to accept Islam. But those people at that point didn't recognize the truth of his words. Some of his tribe members started to fire arrows at him. And unfortunately, one of those arrows proved fatal. He fell down and he attained martyrdom. After martyring him, and this was the rush that people have. They do something and then they regret it. After they had martyred him, it dawned upon them that Islam was everywhere. Islam was spreading. How were they going to live in these lands if they weren't to embrace Islam? And they thought about it long and hard and decided, "We can't continue to fight." On that very day, one of their most respected leaders, he, along with some elders, came to Madinah al-Munawwarah. When the delegation arrived, they said to the Messenger of Allah that they would accept Islam, but on a condition. And the condition was this, that they had a massive idol, Allat, and that idol would not be destroyed for 3 years. Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. The Messenger of Allah rejected this outright and said, "Islam will not tolerate idol worship for even a second. Your idol will definitely be destroyed. It is a different matter whether you choose to do it with your own hands or I send Abu Sufyan and Al-Mughira to go and do so." They all embraced Islam. And then Hazrat Uthman Abi Al-As, a dignified member of the tribe, was approached. And then Sayyidina Abu Sufyan and Al-Mughira, they went there and then they destroyed this idol. Then you had another delegation that arrived from Yemen. This was a special delegation because these were 80 horse riders, elegantly dressed. They had silk garments on, hair well kept. They entered Mecca carrying weapons. They presented themselves in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them to accept Islam. They replied in the affirmative. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Why do you then wear silk garments?" Upon hearing this, they immediately took off these coats, tore away the silk, threw it to one side, and got rid of all the silk from their clothes. Now, there's a delegation, this delegation from Yemen, again, noble people. They entered Madinah al-Munawwarah, proclaiming couplets, and their love, their soft hearts, because these Yemeni people were known for their soft-heartedness, their intellect, and their beautiful manners. They walk into Madinah al-Munawwarah, chanting and proclaiming poems. You know what the translation of the couplets was? "Tomorrow, we shall meet our beloved Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions." Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira relates, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "They are indeed soft-hearted people. Faith is Yemeni and wisdom is Yemeni. While pride and haughtiness are found in the owners of Arab camels, i.e. the Bedouins, peace and sincerity, solemnity
is found in the owners of sheep. Subhanallah. Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised these people as being soft-hearted and being wise and being of strong faith. It was due to this blessing and dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that throughout the ages to this day, the people of Yemen are known as those enriched with knowledge, wisdom and marifah, you know, special majestic powers and pure hearts that are close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Then there was a delegation. Some members of the tribe arrived to embrace Islam open-heartedly at the hands of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, they boasted that, "O Messenger of Allah, we have endured a long and arduous journey through severe drought with no food to eat. We have wholeheartedly embraced Islam without compulsion." And what they were doing, the way they said it and what they meant by this, was that we are doing you a favor, na'uzubillah. You know, we've come all this way to accept your religion. You should be grateful to us. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayat. "They deem it to be a favor to you that they have become Muslims. Say, O beloved, do not deem your accepting Islam to be a favor to me. Rather, it is Allah who has done you a favor in that He has guided you to faith, if you are truthful." Subhanallah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is reminding them, you're not doing my beloved a favor by accepting Islam, but I, the creator of the heavens and the earth, are doing you a favor to allow you to enter the deen of my mercy to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then many other delegations. Banu Fazara, this was a tribe that came, 20 members of the tribe came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, announced their acceptance of Islam and requested him to supplicate. Now this was a particularly interesting one, because when they came, they said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we accept Islam and we have a problem. What is that problem? Our lands have been ravaged by drought. There's been no rainfall and we are suffering starvation. Oh beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, make dua." Now the scholars write, it was the day of Jummah, Friday. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted their blessed hands and prayed. Immediately it began to rain in the drought-stricken area. So their area where they were complaining about, it begins to rain. And it rains and rains and rains. And it continues to rain for a full week. The following Friday, whilst Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is delivering the sermon from the pulpit, the Bedouin Arab says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah azza wa jal, our animals are beginning to die and our children are beginning to starve. All the roads have been flooded, so we kindly request that you supplicate that it rains on the mountains and not in the fields and residential areas." Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then supplicates, and at once, they say, the clouds dispel from over the city. It rains around, but it doesn't rain in that place. Subhanallah. And after 8 days, the scholars write and the people testify that we saw the sun for the first time after 8 days. Look at the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the supplication. That 1 week they turn up and say, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're dying with drought." Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes the dua. And the next week they say, "We've had too much rain. Please pray that it rains on the outskirts and not inside our city." And again, that is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. There were there was another tribe, Banu Murrah. They came and they asked a supplication. They came from some distance and they said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, pray that it rains." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a dua. He also instructs Sayyidina Bilal to give them each 400 dirhams and gifts and sends them back. After returning to their homeland, so this isn't on the outskirts of Medina, this is a distance away, they learn that the rain started to fall precisely when they asked the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal to do dua. They asked the people, when exactly did it start to rain? And they said, at this day, roughly at this time. And said, that was the time that we were at the feet of the blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the time that the blessed of Allah azza wa jal, the mercy to the world, raised their hands mubarak. And that was when Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for rain for us. Can you imagine how strong the iman of these people had become? That when they saw miracles like this at the hands of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many other delegations. There was a delegation of Banu Bakka, Sayyidina Muawiyah bin Thawr, and who was 100 at the time. He announced his acceptance to Islam, and then his tribe came in. There's the delegation of Banu Kinan, the leaders of the delegation of Banu Kinan, Sayyidina Ibn Aska, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came, the delegation wholeheartedly embraced Islam upon returning home, and some of the people, especially his father, became enraged and distraught. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, these companions who had accepted Islam became strong, and Islam continued to spread in that village till the darkness of ignorance disappeared. Subhanallah. Many, many other tribes came to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and too many to go through in that year. But we'll just go to one or two last ones. There was the delegation of Ghamid. This delegation comprised of 10 men. They came in the 10th year of Hijrah, and they left behind a young man to look after their possessions where they had camped. The young man fell asleep, and a thief appeared to run off with a bag, with a bag belonging to them. When the group presented themselves in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed them that a bag belonging to one of you was stolen, but the young man who you left behind as a guard to your belongings was able to retrieve it. On returning to their camp, the young man confirmed what the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla had informed him. I was asleep when a thief stole the bag. When I woke up and went in search of the stolen bag, I saw the man who immediately fled upon seeing me. When I got to where he was standing, I noticed that on the ground there was some digging. I shifted the soil and I found the bag, so I took it out and brought it back with me. Upon hearing this, they exclaimed. They said, wow, he is truly the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. For you're telling us this now, but he's already informed us of what has happened. The entire group, including the young man, then returned to the court of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, proclaimed the kalma, and entered the fold of Islam, now mesmerized by the knowledge of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina, the Messenger of Allah instructed Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala to teach them how to recite the Quran during their stay in Madinatul Munawwara. The last delegation, and alhamdulillah there were more, but the last delegation, this delegation comprised of 60 from Najran. Among them were 24 who were respected elders and 3 who were influential in their political and religious affairs. One of them was Al-Aqib, whose name was Abdul Masih. Another was Al-Sayyid. And the third was Ibn Al-Qama. They posed many questions. They came to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this delegation, and they posed many questions to the beloved of Allah azza wa jal, to which Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied. Then the discussion turned to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, because they were Christians. But their aqidah, obviously their beliefs in relation to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, were at variance. The Christians of Najran refused to accept that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was born to Sayyidina Maryam without a father. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to talk to him and to tell him about the truth of the matter, but they weren't prepared to accept it. On this occasion, they then started to argue, and the ayat of the Quran was revealed, which is found in Surah Ali Imran, verse 59-61. Indeed, the likeness of Jesus before Allah is the likeness of Adam. He created him from dust. Then he said to him, be, and he was. The truth is from your Lord, so do not be among the doubters. Then whoever argues with you about it after this knowledge has come to you, say, come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves. Then supplicate earnestly and invoke the curse of Allah upon the liars. Now, this was an invitation. Let's bring our families, our loved ones, and let's all supplicate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day that this was to happen. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves the home and is traveling with Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that delegation going to make dua? The scholars write that upon seeing this delegation, this beautiful Panjshan Park, these five amazing hasties of Islam, these amazing personalities, who each one was amazing, being led by the best of creation, they then decided that they weren't going to come, and they decided to turn away. And this is how the delegation of Najran went. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this was the ninth year of Hijrah, and Islam was now flourishing. Inshallah, next week, we're going to go on to the 10th year and the beautiful events that happened in the 10th year of Hijrah. And what is to come? Oh, you'll be mesmerized next week. You have the farewell pilgrimage, the last Hajj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the last beautiful sermon that was going to change the world, the beautiful teachings of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, many times when things come up, the scholars say, well, let's go to the last sermon of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it was so beautiful. Next week, we're going to be covering that. I'm going to move to my next segment, inshallah, azawajal, which is easy good deeds. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
Subhanallah. So, every week we do some easy good deeds. And these good deeds, alhamdulillah, are there to help us to add to our book of deeds and to increase our faith and our sincerity and our passion and our enthusiasm for deen. Now today I'm going to give you a beautiful madni pearl. You know, sometimes when we want to do certain acts of worship, but we get a bit lazy. And today we're going to talk about something which can revive you. Even in times when you are not feeling 100%, if you do this, alhamdulillah, it will revitalize you. There are places on the surface of the earth which are very special. Those are the masajid of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now within the masajid, there is a special nur, a special blessing. Ask those who regularly go to the masajid. They are the very, very fortunate people. You know, there's a saying, some people say that I don't go to the masjid. And the scholars say that that sort of person should actually be crying through the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and repenting. Because this is the house of Allah. This is the palace of Allah. And if the king isn't calling you to his house, to his palace, then you should be repentant and you should be feeling that you are missing out. You shouldn't be proud of the fact that you don't get to the masajid. And what the scholars write is that to get the true taste of life and the true barakats of life and to get the true essence of life, you need to be connected to the masajid. These are the places where you will come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are the places where reading the Quran will bring that extra peace and tranquility to your heart. These are the places where doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla will awaken your soul. These are the places where just by sitting there, if you're not feeling well, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling depressed, just go and sit there. And it will take you out of the darknesses and doldrums of depression and bring you into a beautiful light. These are the powerhouses of Allah Azza wa Jal. The best of creation, the most beautiful prophet, the most eloquent of mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever loves the masjid, Allah Azza wa Jal makes him his beloved. So if you have a habit, and I encourage you, make a plan. Every day, I'm going to read as many prayers as I can in the masjid. And if you're busy, if you've got work, just make sure it's one. If you can get there for Fajr, get there for Fajr. If you can get there for Isha, if you can get there for Isha. If you can get there for Zohar, or if you can get there for all five, you watch. Do that. I challenge you. I actually challenge you. Those who are working during the day, pray your Fajr and Isha in mosque. And make sure you protect your other salahs and watch the barakas and blessings. Those of you who can do, try and pray all five in masjid and watch the barakas and blessings. They will come from all directions. Your problems will disappear because of the barakat of praying in the masjid and your life will become peaceful and tranquil. These masajid, like I said, are the powerhouses. Going to the masajid will help you mix with the right people. Going to the masajid will help bring the right thoughts into your head. Going to the masajid will change your life. Alhamdulillah, that is how you build a beautiful madani environment. And this is the work of Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami is the Masjid Baro Tariq. This is the tariq that invites us to the masajid and says, look, we want you in the masajid learning the deen of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and coming closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, I've got 1 minute left. The answer to our question. The question was that who was with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the migration from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwarah? And I'm sure you've all got it right. It was the great Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah azawajal, try and get to the masajid this week. Keep watching Madani Channel and we will continue our beautiful journey in the life of the mercy to the worlds next week. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.